MTL.
You are listening to CJLO News. The NDG Community Council is offering free meals this season to help people break isolation, form community, and eat a warm holiday meal. December Together is the name of the program. It runs every year in different locations around NDG for NDG community members. Here is Lillian Pang from the NDG Community Council.
Anyone who lives in NDG is welcome to come and basically try to connect with neighbors, people in the community. It's especially valuable for people who are experiencing social isolation.
There will be 12 meals total at locations like West Haven Center and the YMCA. Residents are encouraged to attend the meal closest to where they live. You also must book your spot in advance. Visit the NDG Community Council in person at the Wesley Church, check their website, or call them at 514-484-147.
The idea is to serve a traditional holiday meal type thing, you know, like the turkey dinner with all the trimmings, that kind of thing. So not all of them will be dinners. Some of them will be more like a brunch from 10 to 12, depending on which location you end up going to. But the idea is to pick, you know, the one location that's closest to you. And if you want, you can go to the Loyola campus one.
One of the 12 meals does not require a pre-sign-up. The meal here at the Loyola campus at the Buzz Cafe. This is on Christmas Day, December 25th. And it's meant to be an easy access, fun, free, and filling meal from 1 to 7 p.m.
The idea is to bring people together who might actually live on the same block or 5 minutes walk from each other. And I think that's really important, especially when you don't have a car and you don't get out a lot, to have someone close by that you know, especially if you are living alone, because we've been talking about social isolation. So it is a lot of elderly people and folks who maybe immigrated recently, don't have a community yet. So really, I mean, the title of the event series is very accurate. It's about December Together.
Once again, call the NDG Community Council for more information at 514-484-1471. With files from Zach Dutra, I'm Adam Minnis from CJLO News.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are on CJLO 1690 in Montreal, and this is Death of the Mid-Range. We are back, y'all. We are back. Happy Monday. Happy Monday to everybody. It's a joy. It really is a joy during this holiday season to be back with y'all. I am announcing it now. It is my first solo episode. Unfortunately, Mr. Maximilian is out here chilling in Toronto before moving on to Ireland for the next couple of months. So I'm gonna be holding it down for this half a year that's coming up. But I really am happy to be back. It's a special episode today. It's the last episode before Christmas. I hope that everybody listening will get to, you know, celebrate with loved ones and whatnot. And I feel like the most, maybe I'm just a basketball sickle, but the best part about Christmas is that, we get some Christmas basketball, right? Some NBA Christmas Day basketball. Not all the matchups are All-Stars. You know, not all the matchups are Hall of Fame, but we do get a Spurs-Thunder rematch, and I feel like that's going to be special. Rockets-Lakers also could be cool. I do mess with the Timberwolves-Nuggets, even though maybe it doesn't have so much history behind it. And then a couple of duds, I feel like Cavs-Knicks, whatever. Mavericks-Warriors, state of the Warriors right now, pretty much whatever. But yeah, I mean, got a special episode for y'all today. We are going to talk about every NBA team's New Year's resolution, right? We as humans love New Year's resolutions, but NBA teams should take a hint from that and apply it to themselves. Obviously, this is a shorter show, so we won't have time to go through every NBA team, but I did want to split it into two conferences, just like we did when we did the rankings before the season. So I just like I just thought it would be a good idea just to split it up into two, so we have more time to talk about it. I guess I should stop saying we, or maybe I will keep saying we, just you know, because I keep looking across the table and Max is just not here. There's just like a big old hole. So yeah, we'll talk about the Eastern Conference. And then next week, we will talk about the Western Conference. So we got 15 teams. I got 15 resolutions about, you know, I do. There's certain teams where I picked a couple. I ain't going to lie, because I felt like there was either a couple little ones or one big one that needed, you know, a little bit of context. But before we dive into this, we do got to talk about some players of the week. But unfortunately, this week I don't really have a player of the week. I'm not going to lie, I was away all week because, you know, as you know, last week we did a pre-record. And so me and Maximilian weren't in the studio last week. And I was away from Montreal completely the whole week. And I was with family trying to, you know, socialize and that. So the only basketball I allowed myself to watch was the Washington Wizards. So I could give you like four or five, you know, players of the week, but they'd all be from the Wizards. You know, Trey Johnson looking great. Bub Carrington seems to have his powers back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bub Carrington is back. But I'm not gonna, you know, talk your ear off about the Wizards. But I did want to mention a special mention actually to the NBA Cup. I feel like ever since it's come into the NBA season, it's been pretty great. I feel like we've had banger after banger after banger. And It's been a great addition, and I really hope that it becomes a staple in the NBA season. I can't really speak to, you know, like the group stages. I feel like the group stages, we kind of get lost in them because they're so seamlessly fit into the NBA season. But once the quarterfinals roll around, I got to say it's special basketball. Like, it's special basketball. And I'm a big fan of the neutral site. I feel like when the teams get to go to Vegas, it's like, it's really special. So you really get the feeling that they are playing for something. First, to get to Vegas to play the semifinals, and then to once they are in Vegas to compete for the title. And I feel like what has been said this whole time has really been on the players, right? If the players care, then we are going to care. When I see Wemby screaming in people's faces, going at Chet Holmgren, who I think he hates, by the way, guys. I think, you know, I can't prove it, but he definitely hates him. Going at him, going at Alex Caruso, talking trash, like celebrating when they're missing free throws, being so into the game is incredible to watch, one, and two, at this juncture of the NBA season, it's really rare for NBA fans to be so tuned into the NBA. So I think it's been really refreshing, like really refreshing. And I mean, enough said about Wemby, who had an amazing semifinals where it felt like they were facing off against the Monstars. OKC Thunder, the team that nobody could beat. And then, you know, they really put on a masterclass and was able to get that dub. Unfortunately, they lost in the finals to an amazing New York Knicks team who also showed a lot of dog and a lot of fight. And a huge success for the NBA, right? Because at the end of the day, it's the NBA. Adam Silver is just, you know, must be going to sleep super happy lately because everybody was super entertained. And it really brought in, I feel like, not a lot of diehard fans because they were going to watch anyways, but that, you know, that general public, that casual public that you're trying to draw in, and I feel like you definitely got them with that competition because it kind of mixes it up. The one thing that I will say about the group stages is that I wish they'd get a bit more crazy. I feel like this is a really popular opinion, but I wish they'd get a bit more crazy with the groups and the randomness of it all. Like, you know, if they would just mix conferences. I don't understand why they stay so stubborn about not mixing conferences. Like what's the point? Because we do get group stages, but that are still in the same conferences. So it kind of feels like regular season, but kind of worse. And I also, maybe I'm the only one, maybe I'm not smart enough, but I get really confused about the points, like the point system and whatnot. And then also, like, certain games of the NBA Cup don't count towards, like, the actual record. Regardless, it is a work in progress anyways. They're probably going to get better as time goes on. But yeah, huge success, and that's not my player. Well, my player of the week is the NBA Cup, simply put. Honestly, I had so much fun watching it. But yeah, so now that that's out of the way, we can move on to the New Year's resolution. I went chronologically, but in my mind, which means that I was trying to remember the Eastern Conference standings, and I kind of just went as I thought it was. Maybe not the most accurate, but doesn't really matter. Wait, hold up. Man. My fault. I needed a water break. I got to tell you something. My mouth be getting dry because I'm not even used to talking that much since, you know, we usually have Max to handle the back and forth. So I might take a couple water breaks, but I will warn you guys every time. So the first team I wanted to start with is the Detroit Pistons, who have been top of the East basically since the beginning of the NBA season. They haven't really let up. They've been really good. This core is interesting. You know, I feel like they're really interesting. They're like the bad boys Pistons, but who play really good offense. Obviously it relies a lot on Cade Cunningham, who is literally the maestro of all this, but they also have a lot of other good players. You know, Asar Thompson is a premier role player in this league. Jalen Duren got a bag now. And I'm not even talking about the money. I'm talking about, you know, the bag on the court. And even off the bench, you know, Caris LeVert has fit in nicely. Then Ivy has struggled, but, you know, Darren Jenkins, discovering him, has been also really good. All that to set up my New Year's resolution for them. My New Year's resolution for the Detroit Pistons is to not be static / not be too stubborn about their core. What I mean by that is that if the right trade were to come along for the Detroit Pistons, I would be opposed to saying yes. Now, of course, I'm not saying you gotta. There's definitely people that you can't trade. You know, Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, Asar Thompson. Like, you know, those dudes don't really grow on trees. So I would definitely hold on to them. But, you know, Caris LeVert, maybe Jaden Ivey, I think would be the biggest piece that people might want. Jaden Ivey, Ron Holland. You know, I mean, if let me throw some names out there. If Anthony Davis came around for the right price, Lauri Markkanen. I must say I'm a way bigger fan of the Lauri Markkanen fit than I would be Anthony Davis. But I mean, I gotta say, like, I understand wanting to keep the vibes right? Wanting to keep the guys that you drafted, and the vibes have been great in Detroit. I must say they've been really, really good. But to be honest, once it comes playoff time, you need a secondary dude that can, like, create offense. Because we saw it last year against the Knicks. And yes, they performed really well all throughout that series. And they could have won. It's not crazy to say that they could have won. But truthfully, they had to empower Dennis Schroeder in a way that was, like, way too much. The ball was in Dennis's hands a lot. Because once the Knicks really hounded Cade Cunningham, the offense fell apart. Right? And they still got the defense. That's a given. Every night, that will be a given. But you need a dude that is going to alleviate Cade Cunningham. And again, Lauri Markkanen isn't the biggest self-creator, but he scores in bunches. He really scores in bunches. And he adds gravity, a gravity that nobody on the Detroit Pistons roster has right now. Right? Nobody. I'm not leaving Cade Cunningham to go contest Asar Thompson. I'm not leaving Cade Cunningham to go contest Jalen Duren. I'm not even leaving Cade Cunningham to go contest Duncan Robinson. And Duncan Robinson is a great shooter, mind you, but he can't really do much else after that. So I need a secondary, not only ball handler, but somebody who can create the offense. And all that to say, you never want to gut the roster, right? I'm not saying that they should trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, but I'm saying that they should be open, very open. And, you know, even Isaiah Stewart, open to letting some of these dudes from their young core go right now, in order to get a player that takes them to another level. Because if they want to contend rather sooner than later, they still need to hit, like, one more level. I think they're great. They have a great core, a great ensemble, but they need to level up just a little tiny bit, just a little bit, in order to diversify their offense a little bit and alleviate Cade Cunningham, who has, like, the highest usage rate in the NBA by far. And everything runs through him. You know what I'm saying? Everything runs through him. So definitely need to alleviate him. And I feel like if the right person comes along, right, if the right kind of piece could come along, then I'd be willing to part ways with a couple of dudes on that team. That is going to take us to our first ad break. We still got 14 teams to go. So y'all better not go nowhere and stay with me, all right? I will see y'all on the other side.
Tune in to Mo Read Mo Radio for some amazing jams from the worlds of Latin American rhythmic music. Saturdays at 5 p.m. only on CJLO.
Mo Read Mo with Mr. B.
Crossover Comics is celebrating the holiday season with a massive sale. From Boxing Day to the end of the year, we'll have 20% off everything in the store. You can also get up to 40% off certain items like new comics, back issues, Funko Pops, board games, Warhammer, and more. Plus, there's a huge blowout on liquidation. So come on down to Crossover Comics at 3560 Notre Dame West, just a 5-minute walk from Lino Groom Metro.
Welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are still on CJLO 1690, and this is still Death of the Midrange. And during the ad break, I realized something. I forgot to introduce myself. For y'all, I don't know, I'm Libasikoela Diallo, and I'm your host for today's show. But yeah, let's keep it going. Next team I have is the New York Knicks that we saw on full display during the NBA Cup. They had an amazing performance. Actually, amazing performance. One performance that was really impressive because it made everybody kind of aware that the Knicks have depth now, right? They had Tyler Kolek come off the bench and give them amazing minutes. They had Jordan Clarkson come off the bench and give them really good minutes. They even have, obviously, you know, Mitch Robinson is going to come off the bench, and he had 10 offensive rebounds during that finals. Good grief. And so the Knicks are kind of, I'm not going to say deep, but the Knicks definitely have depth. And that's where my New Year's resolution kind of comes in, because it's they're directly linked to that. It's I said don't shake up the core. And what I mean by that, I should have just said what I meant, you know. In big lines, basically, I'm saying don't trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now you can't see me because I'm on radio, but I'm shielding myself from the rocks that are being thrown at me, because I understand how crazy of a sentence that is. Please, I understand how crazy of a sentence that, how that sounds and everything. I understand. But come on now, like, New York, you worked so hard to get some depth, and now you're going to throw it all away for a probable Hall of Fame? I know it sounds insane, and I've sat with this all week. I swear, I sat with this all week, and I thought this through, but it's like, we all know, right? We're not stupid. We all know that he wants to go to New York. Okay, and we all know that the Bucks are probably going to want to grant him his wish. And I don't know, man. It's like, if you trade for Giannis, it's going to take a lot of pieces and a lot of starters as well. And you have this team that's on a roll right now, and you obviously never want to, like I said, stay static and just, you know, assume that it's all going to work out. But this team can win a championship. I'm sure of it. And Tyler Kolek, And Jordan Clarkson, they have guard depth now, real guard depth. And when Deuce McBride comes back, you have even more depth. They seem to trust Mohamed Diawara, their French second-round pick. Mike Brown seems to love him and has given him minutes. And, you know, he might help you come playoff time, come when you need to go down the bench and to find somebody who offers you something different. If I was them, I wouldn't gut the roster. I feel like it's enough to compete in the East. Is it enough to beat OKC? I don't know. If that's the ultimate objective, then that makes more sense to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I understand. Like, I get it, bro. The things I'm saying, I'm not even... It's hard for me to even say it out loud for real, because I'm like, bro, like, I'm telling you guys not to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I think if you want to compete in the next 5 years, keep the score. The vibes are really great in New York. And God, do I love Mike Brown. Just an amazing coach. I feel like every press conference, bro, he has such a calm aura about him and how he walks through things, and he has tremendous accountability, and it's really great to see from a coach. But yeah, New York, go into the new year, go past February, keep the same core. Water break. All right. Now, moving on to Canada's very own team, the Toronto Raptors. Now, I ain't gonna lie, this is gonna be a short one. If Max is tuned in right now, I know he's screaming at me. We all know it. You know it. For the Toronto Raptors, it's to get a backup big man. Believe it or not, but the Raptors do not have any player above the height of 6'9", apart from Jakob Poeltl. Yes, I know. I understand the Toronto Raptors, small ball is in. I get that. But the thought that I had in my head yesterday while I thought about this was every contender or every great team in the league is bringing back two big lineups. You look at OKC, Hartenstein, Chet. You look at the Spurs, Wemby and Cornette, French Vanilla. Look at the Rockets, who are like the OGs are bringing it back. The Knicks even run some two big lineups. I saw the Kings yesterday. Well, not a contender, but I saw the Kings yesterday run a two big lineup, and it's their late first round pick Maxime Renault, and I think his name is Bobby Caldwell or something. Well, that might be the singer. Something Caldwell, who's an undrafted like rookie, and they were running a two big lineup against the Rockets. That was really interesting. But every team, apart from the Kings, right? Every team that's trying to contend has the ability to go small ball, the ability to just go one center, and the ability to go really big with two centers. Right now, the Raptors are limited, right? They're limited. They don't have that flexibility right now. They have to play small ball off the bench. Once Jakob Poeltl was injured, you have to play small ball. CMB, I don't think, is over the height of 6'9". And he's been good. Like, bro, he's been really good. Props to him. But one, it puts a lot of miles on your body when you play out of position constantly, especially when you play out of position to the center position. Like, it's a lot of miles on your body. So it's a lot of miles on your body for the backups, Mamu and CMB. And it's a lot of miles on Jakob Poeltl because he's the lone center. So it's a lose-lose situation. And I won't overreact because the Raptors have been struggling lately. And, right, it's kind of came down because they had such a great beginning of the year and now hasn't been so much great for them. So, there's no overreaction in what I'm saying. That has been the truth for the whole year, basically, for them, the need to get a backup big man. And like we said last week, it doesn't need to be a great backup big man. It could be, you know, Nick Richards. And I'm not hating on Nick Richards, but he's like a pretty standard, pretty good NBA center, right? So might as well just go get you an athletic guy like that. That probably won't cost a lot. And I feel like that would help your team tremendously. Moving on. Next, we have the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have been a really interesting team who have been winning a bunch of games since Mr. Trae Young went down. For those of y'all that don't know, ever since he's gone down, Jalen Johnson has been like, yeah, this is my team, bro. I'm a cook, and y'all going to watch me cook. And it's worked. I feel like every game he has 30, 10 and 10, or 30, 10 and 9. It's been crazy. And obviously NBA Twitter has blown up with it and gone to the extent of saying, Trae Young, we good, bro. Appreciate everything you've been doing for us, twin, but it's time to go. You know, we're going to trade you. And that still might be the case if you, I feel like this is a team that could trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo and still have a couple pieces to build around him. But I am not a believer in trading Trae Young. I'm not a believer. I may have had the thought and be like, oh my God, yeah, it seems simple enough. But I mean, why can't, like J. Cole said, they act like two legends cannot coexist. Why can't Jalen Johnson and Trae Young coexist? It's not like they're both ball stoppers. You know, they might be ball dominant, Trae Young more than Jalen Johnson, but they like to pass the ball. Why can't they coexist? So my New Year's resolution is let Jalen Johnson and Trae Young coexist. The one big thing I will say is that, yes, Jalen's touches change when Trae Young is in the game because that's just, you know, that's the pecking order in the NBA. And props to Trae Young. I'm not here to hate on him because he's deserved that. He has taken this Atlanta team and brought them to heights that they hadn't seen in a long time. So I'll definitely give him credit for that. But I feel like Quinn Snyder, one of his big resolutions coming into the new year, is to make sure that Jalen Johnson does not go back to a secondary role, but has a 1B role. What I mean by that is that he needs to keep on being that alpha scorer slash creator next to Trae Young, and I think that's possible. I know that Trae Young is a horrible, horrible off-ball player, but they need to figure it out because two talents like that don't come often for Atlanta, right? Atlanta's not a big market. So you shouldn't trade either of these pieces, except if it's maybe for Giannis, then I think about it. Just find a way for them to coexist, and then they'll keep winning games. right, give me a second. Next, I have the Orlando Magic. Now, the Orlando Magic were one of the teams that went to Vegas for the NBA Cup, put up a good performance. Jalen Suggs was going band for band with Brunson in the first half, then got injured in the second half. Unfortunately, it kind of shows how Jalen Suggs' career has kind of gone. There's been a lot of highs that have been heavily accompanied by the lows, unfortunately, which really sucks because the game was amazing and Jalen Suggs was hooping, and then he couldn't go anymore, and it actually gave up some pretty interesting Jace Richardson minutes, who came in with like 3 minutes left and hit a couple threes. But yeah, the Orlando Magic have picked it up as of late. We talked about it on the radio show a couple weeks ago about how they were struggling, how Jamal Mosley was struggling to handle it all, how Desmond Bane was struggling, which makes sense, by the way. Obviously, we're NBA fans, we're impatient. But Desmond Bane had been on the same team in the same role, you know, about in the same role for his whole career. And now he's changing teams, he's changing coaches and environment, and obviously it was going to take a bit of time. But I think he settled in. Had a great quarterfinals against the Heat, like 36 points, something like that. And he had a pretty good game against the Knicks as well. And I feel like these injuries have helped him settle into a new role, right? And that role has been number one. He's been the number one on the team because Paolo, Franz, and all of them were just, you know, injured. And Paolo has come back since. And I feel like there's a couple ways you could go about it. When you're a franchise player and you go down and your team starts winning without you, there's a couple ways you go about it. Either you get in your feelings and you get very defensive and you play into the hands of the Twitter haters that are saying, man, you got to move on from Paolo. Look at how they love playing with each other. You know, kind of the everybody eats mantra that was said by Wizards center Marcin Gortat back in the day when John Wall went down with an injury and the Wizards went on a little winning streak. And he was like, everybody eats, man, it's great. And then John Wall took it to heart and was like, man, what you mean everybody eats? So there's a couple ways to go about it. Either you get in your feelings and you're like, oh, this is my fault. You know, I need to show them that I'm the one. I'm the, you know, I come back and I got to impose my will. Or you come back and you try to fit in. That second option isn't often used, but it's a path that Paolo Banchero has tried to go, you know, try to go on. I can't say that it's worked amazing. At the time of when I did the research and I was you know, writing my notes, it was during the semifinals against the New York Knicks. And at that time, Paolo had come back, I don't know, for a week and a half or 2 weeks, and he was averaging 14 points on, like, horrible efficiency. So, and in the games that I went back and watched, and in the game against the Knicks, even though he didn't have a bad game against the Knicks, the way he's operating now is so much different. He's not initiating the offense. He's actually playing off the ball, and he's playing off secondary action. Which means that if Jalen Suggs is initiating something and it doesn't work, they'll swing into the wing and then he'll get into his offense. So he was getting way, way less touches and kind of playing within the flow of the offense. Now they lost. I don't really care about the score, but I don't think that's the way to utilize Paolo Banchero. You have way too much talent in this big three of Paolo, Franz, and Desmond Bane, not to try to use, like, maximize everybody's, you know, true potential. So I definitely feel like that Jamal Mosley again, because I feel like I'm talking about coaches a lot today, but Jamal Mosley and the Orlando Magic need to figure out what kind of role Paolo Banchero is going to be the best in while not impeding on Desmond Bane's recent success, right? And once you're able to figure all that out, that's when you're going to get the best out of, like, all three of these dudes. Also, the Magic are playing offense. You know, we had mentioned that they hadn't been top 10 in offense in a long time. They might get that this year. I think they're, like, 11th or 12th, so... You know, I got to focus on that too. Got to give a bit of love. I also want to give a lot of love to Anthony Black. Man, I did not see that leap coming, bro. I wasn't the biggest Anthony Black enjoyer, believer. Not saying that I'm a hater. I rhymed there. No, but I wasn't the biggest Anthony Black believer. But listen, this year has been tough. I ain't even look at the stats. The eye test is crazy. Bro, like, the eye test goes crazy. I ain't even talking about highlights neither. Like, he was putting on a show against the Wizards. Which is, you know, happens to, that has nothing to do with this, but I was up thinking last time when I was watching the Wizards, because we beat the Grizzlies on Saturday. Amazing game, by the way. We were down 20, came back. But Santi Aldama, whose career high prior to playing the Wizards was 29, had 37 points. And I wish there was a stat to know the amount of times a player has set a career high against a certain team. Because I feel like it's always us, bro. Where dudes just like, they see Washington on the calendar and they go, all right, that's what I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. Regardless, sorry. Got off track. But yeah, that's the New Year's resolution I have for the Orlando Magic. Next up is probably, I feel like the most interesting team in for this whole Eastern Conference series, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are struggling, to say the least. Let me check. They are seventh in the East, and it's only because teams ahead have lost. I'm telling you, they're 15-14. They've been struggling, man. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And most of all, not only did they almost lose to the Wizards, they lost to the Chicago Bulls twice in the same week. Now, I know that can't feel good. No hate to Bulls fans. Bulls Nation, please don't hate me, but that cannot feel good for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell is in his Spider-Man bag. But Donovan Mitchell is not getting much help. I ain't gonna lie. And I was like, why are they struggling? Because I don't watch that much Cavaliers basketball. I was like, why are they struggling? Why are they struggling? I was trying to figure it out, you know. And then I watched a couple games. I watched their first game. I think, yeah, their first game against the Knicks. And I watched another game that they played against the Heat. And this is a team that, as we know, loves to shoot threes. They love to shoot threes. And I went on Cleaning the Glass just to see. And they're top four in three-point frequency, which means they are top four in the league in three-point attempts, but they're bottom four in three-point percentage, right? So they're basically shooting themselves out of games. Same thing happened last year. They were top two in three-point percentage, and they were top two in three-point frequency. So it's the same thing, except that this year, instead of being at the top of three-point accuracy, they're at the bottom. And it's ugly, man. I was looking back and looking at box scores, and it was shooting like 25%, the whole team from three, 30% from three. It's been bad. It's been really bad. Darius Garland hasn't been healthy, and he's having a down year. Jared Allen also having a down year, not healthy. And I also kept digging, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have sneakily been the most unhealthy team in the whole NBA. Their star lineup of Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen has played a whopping 43 minutes together this year. 43, bro. And it's so funny because when I look at the box scores and the players that are suiting up, one night Evan Mobley comes back, then Jared Allen goes down. One night Jared Allen comes back, Evan Mobley then goes down. Obviously, the Mr. Iron Man is Donovan Mitchell. Never seems to go down for anything. The dude is like unbreakable and just like never seems to be injured. But yeah, and that lineup in 43 minutes has outscored opponents by 17 points. Obviously, small margin, and it means next to nothing. But it does mean actually a little bit, because this team has struggled. The acquisition of Lonzo Ball has not helped. Their backup center play, no offense to Thomas Bryant, has been subpar. So behind Jared Allen, it's been tough because Evan Mobley's not a center. Evan Mobley is not a center. He is a delicate big, as I like to say. He's a very delicate big. He's a lot of finesse. But I watched like a 15-minute video on how Evan Mobley sucks at rebounding. And it is incredible how it was just like showing clips of him getting boxed out or getting bumped by smaller players. So then he was out of position when grabbing a rebound. Like, he'd be in position to grab a rebound by himself, and then a small guard will come just like give a little butt bump, and he will be out of position. And he's really struggled to play center. Now, his stats look good because he still gets his, you know, and he has a really good touch, and he gets out of situations quickly, and he can shoot the three now a little bit. But defensively, to hold down the paint has been hard. Mr. Defensive Player of the Year, 100%. But it's much easier for him to roam and help out Jared Allen rather than be the lone center, because the lone center, you're actually being attacked constantly. And then on the offensive end, he's struggled to be aggressive. That's his problem. And that explains a lot, actually, why sometimes we tell Donovan Mitchell that he's doing way too much. The truth is he has to do too much sometimes. Because on this team, there's not a doubt dudes that are going to be aggressive. And the couple of dudes that will be, Darius Garland is inefficient this year. DeAndre Hunter, also inefficient this year. So, like, what do you do? Of course, Donovan Mitchell has to go and be like, I'm going to do it myself. And that all brings me to my New Year's resolution. It's actually kind of a positive one. For me, it's keep shooting threes. Let's not just mix up or change up the whole offense. It's going to fall. They have dudes that are shooting out of character. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter. They're all really great three-point shooter, and it's going to come around. Right? You just got to trust it. And another point I had was maybe get a better medical team. No shade, but like, damn, like they cannot stay healthy. You know, they cannot stay healthy. And I don't know, man. This might be the last year we see this core, bro. We see this core. If they don't make a playoff run, what does this core have to show? Right? First round exit to the Knicks, and then was it first round exit? It was first or second round exit to the Knicks. Then it was second round exit to the Pacers. And I think there was another exit in there that I'm forgetting. But yeah, if they don't figure it out, it might be wrapped soon. All right, moving on. Damn, we gonna have to speed this up, man. I'm too slow, man. I'm just rambling. Next team is the Boston Celtics. This one is pretty straightforward. The Boston Celtics have actually been very impressive. I wasn't that high on them coming into the season because basically just looking at the roster, I was like, oh, this is going to be way too much for the top dudes like Jaylen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Derek White. It's going to be just way too much for them to handle. That hasn't been the case. Maybe it was the case at the beginning of the year, but it hasn't been the case at all as of late, like at all. Jaylen Brown is one of the NBA's most efficient mid-range scorers, and he's doing it out of isolation, which is great, right? Great. Just amazing to watch, not only, but also very impressive. Derek White has finally picked it up. He can finally shoot again. Peyton Pritchard is having a career year. Salute. And my New Year's resolution is don't bring Tatum back yet. Even if healthy, for me, it's keep the same group. Why I'm saying that is obviously as of late they've surged to like the third seed in the East, and I mean who knows, man, they might end up being second seed or first. They might not catch Detroit, but what I mean is let this group go through the motions, right? Because a lot of these dudes, Jordan Walsh, Josh Minot, Hugo Gonzalez, from my Spanish speakers, Nemias Keita, are. It's their first time playing big minutes in a quote-unquote contending slash competitive team, right? Well, Hugo Gonzalez has been a pro for... I'm going to stop doing that. Sorry. Has been a pro for a long time, but it's his first time in the NBA being competitive, you know? And Jordan Walsh, Josh Minot, Nemias Keita, first time playing big minutes and being relied on. And I feel like if you let them go through an 82-game season... Not saying that Tatum will disrupt that, but if you let him go through an 82-game season, let him go through the playoffs and rely on those dudes, then you will know who is ready to start next year to compete next to Tatum. Because if Tatum comes back right now, he has to ramp up, you know, the pecking order is going to get all messed up, and then he's going to get to the playoffs, he might be hobbled again. And I feel like they're young enough to give themselves this half or, what, you got three quarters of the season left, go through the playoffs, rely on those dudes, right? Give them responsibility. And then next year, during training camp, you will know who will be there. You will know who will start against, who will start alongside these dudes and be ready to compete from day one. All right, moving on. We got the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers were about the hardest team to predict before the season started because we didn't know who was going to suit up. And you know what? Day in and day out, we still don't know who suits up for the Philadelphia 76ers. One day it'll be, I saw last time, it was George and Embiid carrying them to wins. What is this, to 2019, 2020? Like what? And during that little period, because I think Maxey went down for a week or something, I discovered that Maxey had haters. I saw a tweet after they beat the Hawks, or the Pacers, I believe. And like, Embiid at 39 and Paul George at 35. And it was like, finally the dictator is not here. We can finally be happy. I was like, what the hell? I was like, who's the dictator? And I was like, Tyrese Maxey's the dictator? The dude who's smiling all the time? I was like, what the hell? So I didn't know he had haters. That was an interesting find. But yeah, I mean they've been good. They've been okay. Oh wait, let me check. I can check their standing, but oh no, whoa, they're fourth in the East. Wow. Oh my bad. Oh man, it does not appear like that when you okay, wow. They're fourth in the East. But I feel like my stance doesn't change. Honestly, my stance does not change. My New Year's resolution is for them to keep leaning into the youth. I wrote down, I don't want to be fooled by the play as of late of George and Embiid. I don't think it's sustainable. And maybe that's pessimistic of me, but I've been too optimistic before. I've been hurt. Listen, Joel, I have been hurt as much. I've been hurt, okay? And I love Joel Embiid, but if I want to wait and believe in a time where everybody is healthy, that's not possible, and that's a utopia. That's what it is. It's a utopia. It's not gonna happen, brother. It's not gonna happen. So keep leaning into the youth. Keep giving minutes to VJ Eshcombe. Keep giving minutes to Jared McKinney. Let him ramp up, and move on if you need to. I honestly do not know what to think about the Sixers team. If they get to the playoffs, they probably will. Right? They could be fourth today, but they could be eighth tomorrow. Who knows? But I feel like the one thing you got to keep is not be fooled. Do not be fooled by Paul George's late play. Do not be fooled by Joel Embiid. Recent health. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep having Maxey as the 1A. That's my take. Next, we got the Miami Heat. One of the most interesting teams as the beginning of the season. They got off to a really good start, like the Bulls and like the Raptors, but have struggled as of late, like the Bulls and the Raptors. They garnered a lot of interest because of their offense. They were playing, you know, that no pick and roll offense, no on ball screen offense, the very quick offense, the pitch ahead offense, and it's basically an offense that empowers everybody to have similar roles, which means that they empower everybody to drive in and kick. And that creates rotation, and then you get maybe quick three-point shots, or you get a cutter in there, you're able to dump off or something like that. And this offense isn't new. It's, after doing some research, actually, it's been done by, well, everybody knows the Grizzlies, but also by the Spurs back in the day. But the one difference is that the Spurs had really good personnel for this. The Heat, not so much. They have a couple good drivers like Davion Mitchell, Jaime Jaquez, Norman Powell. But when it comes off the bench, a lot of these dudes, Pell Larson, Jakachonis doesn't really play. But, you know, even Tyler Hero struggles when he gets in the paint. And also Jrue Smith, when they're empowered to drive, it's a different result. And so that's kind of why they've struggled also a little bit. And also because this offense, when it gets stuck, right? When it's not working, it's really hard to generate good looks if you just keep trying to make it a track meet. Also, if you're not playing good defense, then their style of offense becomes really, really stagnant because you're not getting any transition opportunities. So it's not a well-oiled machine. It actually kind of becomes rusty. Hope you like that analogy. But no, and so my New Year's resolution for them is to mix up the offense, right? Kind of maybe empower Bam Adebayo to do a little bit more ISO, a little bit more work in the post. And it's also not to make any sudden trades. I'm not a fan of John Morant in Miami. I'm not a fan of anybody in Miami right now. Maybe Lauri Markkanen, but they probably don't have the pieces. But honestly, I said that for them not to trade for John Morant. I don't think it would work alongside Bam. I don't think it would work alongside Tyler Hero. And we've also yet to see this team fully healthy with Tyler Hero. And unlike the Sixers, I feel like I can actually say that once he comes back healthy, then we will get a full picture of what this Heat's team and new offense can actually do. After all this yapping, this is going to take us to our final and last ad break. When we come back, we will finish this up. Don't go nowhere.
Hip-hop, you want some R&B? Tune into the Limelight, 6 to 8 every Saturdays, right here on CJLO, 1690 on your AM dial. That's what's up.
Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. That'll be the last time I'll be saying that. Yeah, welcome back, man. Welcome back. We're going to finish this up. Got about 15 minutes to go. Más o menos. And I got 15 minutes for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. I am definitely able to do that. So, yeah, the Heat. Just kind of waiting for, in my opinion, Tyler Hero to come back to really get the full picture. He's only played 6 games, and he's been pretty good in those 6 games. And I believe there are 3-3. Which for me doesn't mean a lot because, well, you got to let the brother ramp up, right? Got to let him ramp up. So, next team is the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, that is going to be as, honestly, I have nothing to say about the Bucks. I'm kind of baffled, actually. Kind of baffled about the whole situation there. But I will give them a little bit of not credit, but a little bit of, I don't really know. I don't have the word, but basically, they can't do much more. I ain't gonna lie. After the Damian Lillard injury, like, what do you want to do? It's sad, right? Damian Lillard gets injured for the whole season. What do you want to do? You can't really do anything. You can't really wait it out. If they had waited it out, it would have been the same thing as this year. So, my resolution is I have two. It's keep hoping, you know, like kind of like, you know, encourage them to just block out the outside noise, guys. It doesn't matter. Don't let it get to you, y'all. Don't let it get to you. And it was, I also had win enough games so Giannis stays. That's very unlikely. I'm not going to lie. That's very unlikely. I think they've lost to the Nets. They've lost to the Bulls. And they've lost to the Wizards. Not a great group you want to be in. And the last one, and this one I really do mean, is to respect Giannis's wishes. So to get him wherever he wants to go, while also not compromising the package that comes with it. You feel me? Because I understand that you want to be a stand-up franchise, and I will always stand behind a franchise, behind a player's wish, you know, to leave on good terms and all that. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is way too big of a player not to be a little bit selfish and be like, I still need a really good package. And I feel like that's why I was really adamant on the Hawks, because I feel like the Atlanta Hawks could really give you a good package, right? Whether it be Jalen Johnson or even maybe Trae Young, could be interesting. So that's what I mean. Get good picks. Don't let him leave for nothing. Even if he wants to go to New York, you gotta bleed New York dry. That's all I'm gonna say. Talking about the Bulls that we've talked about a lot today. Chicago Bulls, man. Chicago Bulls. Shout out to my guy, Kenny Beecham. I'm a big fan, bro. So I try to watch Bulls basketball or stay up to date with Bulls basketball, so I kind of understand how, you know, Kenny Beecham kind of goes through things, because he's like a devout Bulls fan, and he's been going through it for the past couple of years, and he's going through it again this year, because the Bulls are back to normal, y'all. They fooled us at the beginning of the year when they were top of the East or second in the East or something like that. Yeah, they're back. They're back in the plan, right where they belong. And Matas Buzelis is my New Year's resolution. It's just Matas Buzelis. Empower him, bro. Empower him. He is your only young piece right now. He is the only building block with Noah Esenge, who's injured for the rest of the year, but played only 4 minutes. You know, hopefully he recovers well. But he's your only building block right now, bro. And you're kind of messing it up by empowering older dudes, dudes that are not even going to be here in 2 years in front of him. Past couple of games, he's had back-to-back 20-point games. And like a lot of people have said in Bulls Nation, he works off of confidence. When he has confidence, man, he's gliding on the court, making moves that we rarely see for a dude his height. And he's picked it up because that confidence feels like it has been instilled in him. So the one thing, yeah, I got to say is let Matas Buzelis cook and embrace the gosh darn rebuild, bro. Let it go, man. Kobe White is soon going to have no interest if you guys just hold on to him. Nikola Vucevic, has little value now. He's a stretch five who can't defend. No shade again, but he's a stretch five who can't defend. Okay? So, please, trade Deuce before it becomes too late. Josh Giddey, I don't know. If he has interest, I'd trade him. If he doesn't, then whatever. I know it's hard to go back into rebuild, and I've said this about a dozen team, but I know it's really hard to go into rebuild once you just came out of a rebuild and didn't win anything. I understand, but it's what's best for the franchise. Moving on, talking about rebuilding, that's what it's going to get, because we got four teams that are accustomed to winning. Actually, we have three teams that are accustomed to losing. The Charlotte Hornets, it might be a unpopular opinion or unpopular New Year's resolution, but it's don't give up on the core. Maybe I'm feeding into the utopia, but don't give up on the core. And I really wish to see all four of these dudes healthy. By all four of these dudes, I mean LaMelo Ball, Colin Knuppel, Brandon Miller, and Ryan Kalkbrenner. What a name. Not a fan of Miles Bridges at all. But I feel like we deserve to see that core fully healthy for a season. And I honestly, bro, I kind of hate myself for saying that, because that's kind of been in discourse around the Charlotte Hornets organization. It's like, this is the year we make the play-in. This is the year we make the play-in. No, no, no. This is the year. We're going to be the underdog. Please pick us, pick us. And it's never materialized. LaMelo Ball can't seem to stay healthy, and it's the most frustrating thing. Honestly, little side story. My best friend bought me basketball shoes, I think 2 years back or a year back. And I had the choice. I had any choice, right? He was like, we in the store, you know, on some Jay-Z stuff. He was like, bro, pick up whatever you want. And I really like the design of the LaMelo Ball shoes. Like, really like them. Picked them. They look great. Some purple Johns, like, really clean, really fire. Problem is, I understand what his brother got, ankle issue. Both my ankles, I've never sprained my ankle before. Ever since wearing these shoes, bro, my ankles are toast. I was already an unk before. Now I'm a super unk. You know what I'm saying? And that has nothing to do with it, because I'm just a retired YMCA hooper. But we did hear a lot of stories about the shoes, right? We did hear a lot of stories, and I'm not feeding into any conspiracies. But all that to say, I want to see him healthy. He has an amazing, one of the most consistent rookies in NBA history in Colin Knuppel. I don't want to give up on the score, because I think this core could be something special if all healthy. Brandon Miller, don't forget, is a super athletic, a freaky athletic player who can step out and shoot, but also create his own mid-range shot, right? So it's like, you know, what more could you want? You've drafted well, maybe not health-wise, but you've drafted well. And yeah, I wish to see them all play together, please. Okay, moving on. The Brooklyn Nets, the Nets of Brooklyn, as we call them. My New Year's resolution might not make them happy. I'm sorry, Nets fans. One thing I will say before stating that New Year's resolution, I also hate it when somebody outside my fan base comes in and be like, oh yeah, just trade this dude. Not knowing the emotional attachment or not knowing the true impact that he has on the team. Hate that. Hate that just coming in and colonizing my team. No, no, no. Don't give me your opinion on that. Totally understand that. Totally understand that. But I've watched a good amount of Brooklyn basketball this year. Not saying that I'm a huge fan of Brooklyn basketball. I do like the rookies. At the beginning of the year, when they drafted all five of them with Max, we decided to either be in or be out, because it's such, you know, an unprecedented choice that we, you know, just like every big thing, right? Big, big controversial thing. Either you're in or you're out. We are both in. Me, I think, feel like reluctantly. But it's kind of worked out, right? Yegor Jolman has shown really good things. Danny Wolf has shown really good things. Drake Powell, super steady, right? Super freaking steady. And also, what am I forgetting? Ben Saraf, feel like he's been in the G League and has been playing well in the G League. And Nolan Traore, I don't know why I keep saying it with an American accent like I'm not French, bro. Nolan Traore has been struggling a little bit in the G League, but had a good stretch, and that earned him some NBA minutes. And I'm wishing for nothing but the best. You know I love me French guards. But the resolution I have, to avoid any more digressions, is to move on from Michael Porter Jr. His value will be as high as it will ever be in February. And if the right offer, honestly, if the offer comes along with a couple first-round picks, accept it. Accept it, because I know from a tanking team as the Wizards, we waited too long to trade Bradley Beal. and we still got a good deal for him, but it felt like we definitely waited too long. You know what I'm saying? And if we had traded him a couple years prior, even though I love Bradley Beal, don't get me wrong, I'm a big enjoyer of Bradley Beal, and I love seeing him in that red jersey, but it's a business. It's a business from all sides of it. And if we look at these players like an asset, bro, sky high right now. Michael Porter Jr., sky high. So I would move on from him and empower another rookie that might drive Mr. Coach Fernandez crazy, but like, that's what it is. You're tanking. You're tanking. So I appreciate you, Michael Porter Jr. You've given them amazing games, amazing scoring, but I think it's time to move on. I know, early, but you got to maximize the value. And that will help your tanking in the long term. We got two left. Two of the worst teams in the NBA. Record-wise, by the way. Record-wise. Calm down. Started with the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are bad. Like, the Pacers are bad. Like, it's a fact. They're 14th in the East. They're 6-22. There's no silver lining here. I know it's a gap year, but there's no silver lining. It's been bad. For me, it was hard for me to find a New Year's resolution for them because they're not going to compete, right? They're just bottoming out. So the first one was to just, keep being bad, quote unquote. And also find a center for next year, because once Tyrese Halliburton comes back, you are not allowed to have any quacks. You need to be ready from day one. Same thing as Tatum. You need to be ready from day one. And I'm a big enjoyer of Jay Huff. I think he's really good. I think he's a great story for the NBA. I think he's a great story, just a great story. But I don't think he's your center of the future. Unfortunately, he's leading the league in blocks, or second leader in blocks, but he's not a good positional defender. And I don't think he can anchor a defense. And I like Isaiah Jackson, but he's been very, very injury prone. And I feel like you don't need to go get a Zubac. I feel like it's the same thing with the Raptors. Just go get a nice center, right? I don't know who's out there. I feel like Daniel Gafford could be really good alongside Tyrese Hall. Oh, I just pictured them. Ooh, I just pictured them too. Yeah. Daniel Gafford. Give up a pick. I don't know. Give up something, but you need to be ready. This core needs to be ready from day one of training camp next year. Last but definitely not least, y'all. Definitely not least. It's the Washington Wizards. I'm in a good mood lately because of the Wizards, because we have been competitive. We have been competitive. Keyshawn George had a 28.7-7 assists, 7 rebound game. Alex Sarr hit a clutch 3. Bub Carrington is averaging like 17 points over the last 2 weeks. I'm in my bag, bro. I'm in my bag. I've been so happy to watch these dudes hoop. And with games like that is when you see the vision, bro. I get you, Dawkins. I'm here. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. You and I, we see an eye to eye right now, bro. Eye to eye. I see the vision. Trey Johnson, deep threes. Keyshawn George, do it all. Alex Sarr, versatile big. Bub Carrington, just a great point guard. So I see the vision lately. I haven't always seen the vision, I ain't gonna lie, but that's not gonna stop me from ever watching the Wizards. But the resolution that I have among the million that I could come up with is to practice some more ethical tanking, because some of these losses are so bad and some of these losing streaks are so bad that bad habits are selling. The type of shots that people are taking, the hanging your head on the offense, that once the shots don't go in, you don't get back on defense, so you don't play defense. It's just that I don't want these young guys to pick up bad habits, because I feel like now, right, you're in the full kind of mode where you're assessing what kind of young talent is going to stay on this team. I have to cut it short. Unfortunately, it's 9:59, and I do only have an hour. Maybe I should have started with the Wizards, because, it is my favorite team. I didn't want to just talk people's ear off about the Wizards. But, yeah, definitely more ethical tanking, trying to preach the right habits and get rid of these veterans by February. But, hey, something's brewing in D.C. Got to tell you that. Please, please, please watch Wizards games. I am trying to raise the viewership for Wizards games. I ain't going to lie to you. But, yeah, it's been a great episode. I hope you like this format. And I hope you enjoy the first solo episode. Is going to be like that for a couple weeks, and then I'm going to try to bring some guests in for the next year. But on that note, I'm going to wish everybody a very happy Monday and an amazing week, and I will see you next Monday. Peace.